Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Clark, Twinkie and I were in Little Rock, Arkansas with Bishop L.T. Walker. Early one morning, I got a call. I was in Atlanta preaching for Reverend Jasper Williams, and Gloria called me. She said, sit down. I said, I'm going to preach right now. I'm on my way out the door. She said, sit down. I sat down, and my wife told me, we were living in New Orleans at the time, four of our members had been killed in a wreck. I got angry with the Lord because I thought they were my best members. I had some others I thought he should have took. Y'all don't like the truth. These were some good members, Brother Sheard. I mean, solid people. I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm just talking about sweet, solid people. No hell-raising saints. And I couldn't understand, why would you take those four people at once? I put three people in one grave. I was upset with the Lord because I said, you took my members. And he said, clean, they're not yours, they're mine. I said, well, why did you take them? He said, I took them because they were ready. And I'm giving those others a chance to get right. So I called Twinkie. Her and Dr. Clark were over at Bishop Walker's house. I said, Twinkie, I wrote these words. See what you can do with this. Accept.
Accept.
What God allows.
What God allows.
You're better off anyway.
You're better off anyway.
Face the fact.
Face the fact.
And you will never stray.
And you will never stray.
Turn your faith loose.
Turn your faith loose.
He will bring you out.
He'll bring you out.
And give you. Question God.
So don't question God.
Just accept.
Just accept.
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 What God allows.
I kept on writing, Karen. I kept on writing, Jackie.
Except
what God allows.
What God allows. Even you, when you don't understand it, it's working for your good.
Accept every trial.
Accept every trial.
Accept it even now.
Accept it even.
Give you a smile.
He'll give you.
Give you.
He'll give you a smile.
Mr. Twinkie, put it.
Put it.
Put it.
Put it.
Put it in it.
In his hand.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now, you're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he was a longtime navigator, and Lauren said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet." You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, "God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone." If you're married, "God, help my spouse and me to trust you, to lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you." I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected. Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little, kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go. Usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled. Hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. It's, everything is lost. All possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, Father, asking for forgiveness of all our sins and wrongdoings, all our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, our wrong feelings. Father, dear Scarlet, this morning we ask that you would wash us as white as snow, cleanse us today from all unrighteousness, and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us today. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, we ask that you forgive us for not trusting you. Forgive us for leaning to our own understandings and walking in our own ways. Have mercy upon us this morning. And Father, help us not to grumble, murmur, or complain, but help us to look to the hills from which our help. All of our help comes from you. Father, you made the heavens and the earth. And we thank you this morning for forgiving us. Thank you for putting our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness. never to remember them again. We thank you this morning beyond our fault and yet meets our needs. We thank you for being on our side today in spite of us. But Father, who is man that you are mindful of us? We thank you this morning that your loving, kind, merciful, and gracious God. We thank you this morning for your perfect love for us. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, hallelujah, to suffer, to hang, to bleed, to die, to conquer all and rise with all power. We thank you this morning. And Father, today we're yet remembering without you, we can do nothing. Teach us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to accept what you allow. And help us to remember your words that all things must work together for the good of them that love you, those that are called according to your purpose. And Lord, you saved us. You called us to something. And some of us, you chose us to do special work. Help us today to get on the right track with you. Help us to bow down in humbleness unto you. Help us to give the world back its tools. And Lord, help us to make Jesus our choice today, to obey you and to do what he has done and what he's doing right now. Help us to be good people and walk in your way today, the ways of Almighty God that have all power. We thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. Thank you for what you're doing right now and what you're going to do. Bless those that have jobs, Lord. Increase their territories on the job. Father, we ask that you would increase their finances on the job. Let raises come forth. We know what we're in, oh God, but it's not ours. It's not our pandemic. It's not our COVID. You're the Lord of our lives. You take good care of your people. Again, this morning, help us to continually look at the hills from which cometh our help. Help us today to trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, help us to acknowledge you. Father, it's a promise you shall direct our path. Help us not to be wise in our own eyes. Help us to fear you and depart from evil. Help us this morning. Give us a spirit of obedience like we've never had to obey you. Father, give us a spirit of trust that we trust you. And when things come up that we can't control or have no control, help us to let go immediately, quickly, oh God, because we're letting go to you. Again, this morning, without you, we can do nothing. And Father, we need you to help us to accept what you allow. We're better off. The earth is yours. Today, O God, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to you, including that devil. And Father, you have a purpose and a plan for all of our lives. And help us to line up with your purpose and your plan today in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be an obedient people unto a good God. Hallelujah. A perfect God. That have all power, Jehovah. Help us today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We come this morning asking that you would bless every household represented here, every family member, every friend, near and far today, oh God. But you know what they're standing in need of more so than we. But Father, we're looking at the outer appearance, but it's you that looks at the heart. You know the very intent of man's heart. People today in the name of Jesus. Father, as we lift you up in song this morning, draw unto you. You said we lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. We want to lift up this morning so you can draw because you wish none should perish. And we wish the same. Father, help us and let this mind be in us today that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Please you today. Help us to do what you can accept in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are sick here today. Heal, Father. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. There's yet healing in the hem of your garment. Hallelujah. Father, it's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today for us, oh God. Touch and heal those of us that are overeating, those of us that are undereating. Heal today. The Lord will come out with balance in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. This morning that you will remember those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers preaching in the name of Jesus, and obedience unto you and love for your people. Israel and Jerusalem this morning. Our brothers and sisters overseas everywhere. And Lord, we ask that you would supply for these men and women and children. And Father, those that are not able to mention your name, those that are not able to share the Bible openly, God, we ask that you would loose your protected angels to stand watch, to shield and protect. Keep them, Father, from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask this morning, you will remember America today. Have mercy upon us, O God, and forgive us, Lord. And continue to bless America. Father, continue to bless these United States of America. Father, have mercy upon the leadership this morning and forgive them. Give them the right mind, O God, the right heart to serve your people as serving you. In the name of Jesus. We ask this morning, Father, that you will continue to bless your people here. Open doors for them. Make ways for them. Those that are here that's standing in the need of finances, God, we ask that you would make a way. But you don't just make a way, for you are the way. And Lord, you know what's best for us. Again, the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Loose our money angels today. Go get our finances and bring it back. Money answers all things according to your word, Father. Do it with us. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning and have your way here today. Move by your spirit for your people. But Father, we need you like now. Many don't know which way to turn. Many don't know what to do. But Father, we must learn to trust you in the good times and the bad times. Even when we're hurting, we must trust you, for you know what's best for us. And you won't withhold no good thing from us. And whatever you do, Father, whatever you allow for us is so that it will work together for our good, so that we can learn to have faith to believe you and to trust you. Move by your spirit this day in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your miracles this morning. Father, it's a miracle. It's a blessing that we know you for ourselves. We know we can call upon you. Hallelujah. And not only you hear, but Father, you answer. And we thank you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For there's none like you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We ask it all in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. And hallelujah. Hey, glory, glory. Thank you. Thank you for hearing today, Father. Thank you for answering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of your people, God. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your healing power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Ooh. Hallelujah, that I don't have to suffer the pain in my knee. I thank you this morning. Glory to his majesty. There's none like you. Good morning, Brother Perry. God bless you this morning. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. I want to go to this one request right this morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with Dr. Charles Stanley. And his message today is this. We can never get enough of these kind of messages. His message today is trust God. Even when life hurts. Trust God even when life hurts. Because, see, we're going to go through many things in this life. Sometimes people are going to pass away. Sometimes we're going to lose something. You're going to lose a house. You lose a car. You lose a job. You lost money. Things are going to happen. Sometimes loved ones walk away from us. And we don't understand why. Why you treat me like this? But we need to practice trusting God. We need to ask God to teach us, each one of us, how to trust him. And Father, teach me how to teach my children how to trust you. Because he won't withhold no good thing from us. Not only that, I don't care what it is that we go through, it must work together for our good. And the reason it will, we believe God and we trust in him. We believe his word. Ask God to teach us how to stand on his word, and after standing, stand some more, because his word is a sure foundation. It won't give in. It won't sink. It won't break. And when he sent his word out to do what he sent it out to do, that's what it's going to do for us. But we must believe and we must trust God. In this hour, so much is coming our way. Look like minute by minute, here comes something, here comes something. But if we learn to trust God, we're going to be all right. Because you won't pay attention to all of that. That's all that foolishness they talking. What they say. No, we ain't got time. We're holding on to the word of God. We're holding on to that sure foundation. Hallelujah. We're holding on to the one who made the heavens and the earth. He turned day into night, night back into day. He changed the seasons for us. He let the wind blow sometime. Hallelujah. He let the rain sometime. He let the sun come out. Yeah. This is the one we want to trust. Because if he so loved us, he sent his only begotten son to suffer and to die. Yet, God blessed him to rise again. What else will he do for us? What else will he do? He'll make your day better, but you got to trust it. He'll bless you to give your family what they need, but you got to trust him. Men and women get married. And I've seen this. A woman make more than the man, but guess what? He's a God, the man, he go to God and say, Lord, I'm making less than my wife. I want to be able to provide for my household. I want to be able to tell my wife, take your money and do whatever it is you want to do with it. But just make sure you contribute something to the savings account. Don't buy all them shoes and clothes and makeup and wigs and all that stuff without putting something away in our savings account for a rainy day, honey. But you take the rest of your money and do what you want. I'm the head of this house. I will take care of everything. Yeah, you done went shopping and come back. He under the kitchen sink fixing something. Because he want to be a good husband. If you have children, he want to train his children in the way that they should go. He want to be a good father. He want to show them love. He discipline them. He's strict, though. Because they must know. This is no joke. Life is no joke. Many don't have parents. Many didn't have both parents. But how about God will be a father for you when you're fatherless? He'll be a mother for you when you're motherless. You want children and you never had them, guess what? He'll raise up children just for you. I have so many. Some days I look and I think to myself, look at you, honey. You got some kids, grandkids. Yeah. When I talked to Laura, I asked her about Mr. Mason. I said, oh, Godmama, he doing good. He liked the cold. Mason liked playing out there in the snow. Girl, get him in the house where he catch a cold or something. Mr. Mason said, however it come, I am going to be happy. Whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content. If it's summer, I'm going to do summer things. If it's winter, I'm going to do winter things. I'm going to be bundled up and go to school dressed up, well protected in that snow in Philadelphia. Yeah, because they have it cold all day long some days, 43 degrees all day. Yeah. God is faithful to us, and we want to be faithful to him. We want to trust him. Work on that today. Work on trusting God. Work on letting it go. So what? You're not the only one this ever happened to. There's nothing new under the sun. Some people pray that somebody else going to find out what happened at their house. They may talk about it, but they're not going to come over there and help you with nothing. So what's the point of hearing about what they said? I don't have time for that. Now, if you gonna come over here and help me, I'm gonna be my ear is jumping to hear what you gotta say, and I'm gonna pay some attention to it. But you're not helping me. That's foolishness. I don't have time for what you're talking about. You just talking. And many times people don't know the real deal of what's happening. They just talking. Yeah, but we must learn to be led by the Spirit of God. And when we learn to trust God, we'll be led by His Spirit. Hallelujah, because we'll know, oh, this came up, but it won't prosper. No weapon against me shall prosper. He didn't say it was born, but it's not going to get any bigger. It's not going to take me out. It's not going to take me under. They said they were coming at my car. I want to see them come and take what God gave me. I want to see who's bigger and badder than God. Nobody. They'll work out a payment plan with me first. God have a mighty sweet way. And we must learn to trust him. And sometimes he separates us from things. Even our own love, he'll separate us. But we keep going back, putting our hand in it. We keep fooling with it. I'm going to do this. God separated you for a reason. Trust him. He didn't do it to hurt you. He did it to build you to be stronger and better. But we don't do that. Ooh, we got to be all in his bitch. Get up out of his business and let God be God. He's the one that have all power. All right, I'm going to this request before it's time to bring Dr. Charles in. I'm going to this one.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been doing.
Yes,
all right? Look at somebody say, I'm glad.
I'm glad.
I don't look like
I
what I've been doing. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you. I'm glad.
Somebody right now.
glad I don't look like what I've been through. You know, and you know it's the truth.
Just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Clean himself, Bishop Richard White, this morning, and I don't look like what I've been through, and I thank God for that, because, honey, I would be cold up if I looked like what I've been through. Got a little excited, and I had to cut it a little short this morning. Brother Perry wanted to pray for me, and Brother Perry, press that number one, and I will bring you right in, and I thank God for you. Thank God for the mind to pray for me. Yeah, I'm grateful unto God for that today, and I thank him for it. All right, I'm going to get you right in. All right, good morning again, sir. God bless you. How are you?
How are you doing, Evangelist Barbara? Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm blessed.
Excellent. You know, I just wanted to get on very briefly. You know, you're such an amazing steward over the gifts God's given you. Every morning, sometimes Saturdays, even Sundays, you're here blessing people across the country, around the world. And it's not often that I hear people come on and pray for you, pray over your wellness, pray over, you know, your obedience, and give God thanks for you. So I just wanted to do that very quickly, if that's okay, just for a little bit.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Sister Barbara. We thank you for this heart that you've placed on her, Lord, this obedience to fulfill your words, fulfill the good work that you're completing in her, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for her spirit over the flock that you've given her, Lord, in every single around the world, coast to coast, Father God, through the podcast, through the archives, who tune in daily, Lord. We thank you for Brother Louis as well, Father God, and others who come and support her ministry, Father God. We thank you for those who give. We thank you for those with the intention and the desire to give, Father God. We just ask that all together, Lord, you continue to place people in her life that aid the cause, that aid the purpose that you've called Sister Barbara to, Father God. We thank you for her children, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for her parenting and her mentoring, Lord, for her raising up her children in the way that they should go, Father God, so that when they'd get old, they'd not depart. And while we understand that there are some that are following the word and some that aren't, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Sister Barbara did her part, that she raised them up, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that every single day this woman is here blessing people, and she has no idea sometimes, Lord, of the circumstances and the seasons people are in when they tune into her show. She has no idea, Lord. And I pray once in a while, Lord, that you bring it into remembrance, that you bring it to her attention, Lord, that people are coming in, tuning in through all walks of life, seeking a word from you, be it from Sister Barbara, or be it from a sermon that she's playing, or be it from the worship that she leads with every single day, Father God. Your word says, let us enter into your gates with thanksgiving in our heart, in our mouths. And every single day, Father God, she leads this service with worship and prayer every single day. And that's the heart that we should have when we tune in, Lord. Every single morning, when we wake up first thing, We should be spending time with you, Lord God, as Sister Barbara, as she does, Lord, when the show begins. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just so good to her, so merciful to her, that you've given her this heart to do this every single morning. We don't know the toll that it takes. We don't know what it takes for Sister Barbara to wake up every single morning and start this show. But we thank you, Lord, that you've given her the strength, the discipline to do so. I thank you, Lord. You know, Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. And I ask, Lord, that as people call into the show, that they continue, Lord, to make remembrance for Sister Barbara, that they pray for her with all joy, Lord, making her requests known to you, that it not just be about them all the time, Lord, but that once in a while, Lord God, that it be someone lifting Sister Barbara up in prayer, that she may continue forth to lead her flock. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah today. Hey, glory, glory. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. God, I thank you today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you for hearing and asking him, God. I thank you. Thank you for the heart that he loved me, Lord, enough to pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Now, Brother Pitt, I want you to look for your blessing. Yeah, because God is about to move you, man. He's about to bless you. You haven't seen a blessing. Ooh, glory to his majesty like this that's coming your way. So I want you to look for it. Yeah, because God is sending you something. Ooh,
Lord.
Thank you.
Lord. Hallelujah.
You can't pray like that and God don't bless you mightily. Because it's not my work here every morning. It's his work.
That's
and
right.
Praying God. Yeah, to bless his servant. So therefore, God is going to bless you. He always gives you more blessings. And I love it today. I love it the way that he does. And so I'm thankful unto him. He's almighty God that has power. Hallelujah. All right, listen, right quick. I see one more hand raised over here. And then I'm going to Dr. Charles. Thank you so much, brother. And God bless you. God bless you. And, I just already knew it was something special about you, and I know that the time when I was in Super Dial Street, God used you. I said, what? And when I looked at it, I was like, I was floored, Brother Perry. I couldn't say that, but I was floored, and I tried not to say nothing because sometimes people give and they don't want people to know. And so I tried to be mindful of that too, but yesterday I just had to tell it like it was. I just had to bring it to the light. And then we don't want people to think we've forgotten what they did, you know, for us in ministry. Yeah, because I know it was God moved on you. But as a human being, I want to say thank you and God bless you. And I want to speak the blessings of the Lord upon you as well. Hallelujah. God is faithful. That's all I have. Wasn't that beautiful? Ooh, somebody ought to tell God thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, you didn't forget me either. Somebody praying for me. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I needed it. I needed it, son. I thank God for you this morning. Hallelujah. All right, where you went at 9:07? I saw you. Where did you go? Well, I saw you 9:07 now. All right, right here. Good morning, area code 907. God bless you this morning. How are you?
I'm good, Mama. God bless you. God bless you. I just wanted to just come on really quickly and say good morning to everyone. And the brother that just prayed, I'm sorry, but it cut in and out, so I couldn't hear his name. But I wanted to tell him.
Perry.
Okay. Brother Perry, God bless you this morning. And I just want to tell you, you know, my mom's been doing this show for many, many years, and it does require a lot of work and faithfulness. And I thank God for that prayer that you prayed. I touch and agree in prayer with you on that. And I just want to tell you, there's a certain beauty to you. There's a certain calmness and a serene spirit of peace, like Almighty God rests with you. And I want to tell you that's very rare in today's day and time to see for a godly man. So I just want to encourage you to stand strong in the Lord. Keep those scriptures in your heart. Continue to encourage people. Continue to pray for people and the things that you do behind the scenes that nobody knows about but you and God. I pray that he would bless you bountifully in the sight of man and that he would elevate you. So I want to tell you that I love you. God bless you. As a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, and take care of yourself.
Amen. Well said. So we're moving right along. I got to get over here to Dr. Charles. Ah, it just messed me up real good. That was a good messing up right there, brother. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's take a listen at Dr. Charles Stanley. And the message this morning is trust God even when life hurts. Oh, yeah.
There are all kinds of crises. Sometimes they're painful. Sometimes they're costly. Sometimes they're very surprising. They come upon us. How do you respond? If you respond the right way, you can profit by it. If you respond the wrong way, then you find yourself paying a big price. We all are going to have crises in our life. In fact, how many of you have ever experienced a crisis in your life? Come on, put them up. Everybody has. I know they have. Well, how did you respond? You say, well, I didn't do very well. Or maybe you said, you know, I responded right, maybe for the first time. Or the fact that I'm learning when crises come in our life. Well, the message today should be very, very encouraging because there is a proper way to respond. In fact, the truth is, in every crisis, there's an opportunity. And oftentimes we miss what God is up to in our life because we don't think about a crisis, which may be painful or suffering loss or difficult and hardship, and it can be a crisis in your finances, in your relationships, in your health, in your vocation. It can be all kinds of things that bring crisis into our life. The issue is, how do we respond? And what's the basis of a right response? Well, in this passage of Scripture, the life of Joseph is a perfect example of the right kind of responses in time of crisis. And the fact, instead of focusing on the crisis itself, the issue is, what is my opportunity in the middle of this crisis? And today there are probably more people facing a crisis in our country than ever before in many, many years. So how do we face it? How do we respond to it? We could be angry and bitter and hostile. We could blame God or blame someone else. Is there a better way? Yes. Is there a way to profit in the midst of a painful crisis? Yes, there is. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, because this is the beginning of the life of Joseph as recorded in the scripture. And the truth is, not going to read much of this, because if you read all of it, it would go all the way to the 50th chapter, because that last section of Genesis is all about the life of Joseph. There are not very many people in the Bible that nothing is said negative about them, but Joseph is certainly one of those leaders that, about which there's nothing negative said. And I just want to begin reading by a few verses in this 37th chapter. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all the sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a vari-colored coat, a tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Now, I want to simply begin by saying, I want us to look at seven major crises in Joseph's life. And then I want you to see how he responded and how each one of these crises prepared him for some area in his future life. Because God's still doing the same thing. When he allows a crisis in our life, he allows it for a purpose. And if we respond properly, then what I experience today in a crisis, if I respond correctly, will prepare me for another crisis that's coming along. And what happens is that each one builds upon the other. And the natural response ought to be that our faith should grow, our confidence in God should grow, and our confidence in ourselves as far as the way to respond. So as we look at these crises, I want to begin with the first one, which is the fact that he grew up in a family where, in that 37th chapter, three times it says they hated him. They hated him. They hated him. He couldn't do anything right. He was always the subject of ridicule, of rejection. And so that was the kind of family he grew up in. Not just society, but that was his close, intimate family, absolutely hated by his brothers. Because they said, well, the father has been prejudiced toward him and made him this coat of many colors, as we would say. And so he'd had this dream, and this dream indicated that one day all of them would bow down to him. Well, there's enough turmoil in this family already and enough hatred, and then he says, one of these days, here's where it's going to be. All these sheaves, my sheaves in the middle, all these going to bow down, mine's going to stand up straight. Well, that just made them hate him that much more. So the issue is, how did he respond? How did he respond to living in a close family with 11 brothers, and all of them hated him? Well, he could have said, it's your fault. He could have blamed them. He could have been resentful, hostile, angry, told his dad, and a whole lot of things he could have done. But here's what happened. He responded rightly, which means that he took the opportunity to learn how to live in that kind of a situation and circumstance where there was no love, no admiration, and no encouragement. He took the opportunity to learn how to respond to that and to respond to them without growing bitter, resentful, hostile, angry, and taking out vengeance upon them. No indication of that at all. Now, the important thing about that was this. That was very, very important to what was going to happen to him later on when he found himself in a situation where normally that's the kind of thing he would have felt. So his first crisis was just growing up in that kind of a family and learning how to respond to that situation. Well, the second crisis he faced was that his father sent him over to Shechem to check on the brothers and see how the flock was going and so forth. And so when they saw that he was coming, they just decided this is a good time to take care of him, so we'll just kill him. So they stripped him of his garments, and you remember they killed an animal and put the blood on the garment and took it back to the father and said, you know, poor Joseph, he's been killed by some animal and so forth. And so anyway, they threw him in a pit. They threw him in a pit to leave him there to die. And it was deep enough he couldn't get out. And so here he was, helpless and hopeless, leaving him to die. And what was his response? Well, naturally, he wanted to get out, but he had to come to the conclusion that they weren't going to let him out. And so he had to take the opportunity. If he was going to survive this, how could there be an opportunity when he's in a pit and they're leaving him to die? But he had a dream. And that dream was that one day all his brothers would bow down to him. And what was happening in that period of time while he was in the pit, he was learning something. And he found himself absolutely, totally dependent upon God. Only God could get him out of that. Well, because he had the right attitude about it, and because he took advantage of the opportunity to trust God in this helpless, hopeless situation, what he didn't know was that God was preparing him for a time when he would be in a similar situation, much worse, and yet God would be there to rescue him no matter what. You see, oftentimes we forget that one crisis in our life is oftentimes preparation for enabling us to go through something worse. And the truth is, if you'll think about it, how do we grow? We grow in the Christian life by facing one trial after the other, one heartache, one hardship. And oftentimes, if you'll think about it, we don't think it's fair, but God does, that it seems that, well, if I survive this one, why should this one be so much more difficult? And if I survive this one, God, it ought to get easier and easier. How many of you have asked, you don't have to tell me, how many of you have said to God, why doesn't it get easier somewhere along the way? Because what makes us grow is the testing and the trial. And you see, the greater the test, the greater the trial, we just keep pushing and pushing, or he does, and we just grow up and up and up, and we don't like it, but at the same time, something good's going on. So now he's thrown in the pit. So his brother comes along and says, no, it's no way we're going to kill him. Let's sell him to these caravans that are going by. And so they decide to sell him as a slave into Egypt. So this is another crisis. Here he is going further and further away from his family in Canaan. He's going to be sold as a slave. That means he's a nobody. That he's absolutely useless, and that he'll be lost in a civilization that was absolutely foreign, totally foreign to them. So think about it. He could have fought against his captors. He could have gotten very belligerent and blaming them and wondering where God was, or take the opportunity. I'm going to Egypt. I'm going to learn what Egypt's about. If I'm a slave, I'm going to learn their language. I'm going to learn their ways. I'm going to learn how they operate. That is, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. Somehow, in some way, God's going to work me out of this, which was also preparation for another event that was coming in his life. So when he gets to Egypt, they put him on the block to sell him. And of all the people that would buy him would be the man who is the chief bodyguard. He's captain of the bodyguard of Pharaoh himself. And so he purchases Joseph and puts him in his household. But you see, he's already been learning a little bit as he's coming along. And now he could see himself as a slave, or he could see himself with a tremendous opportunity. He could learn the language of the Egyptians. He could learn how the upper class in Egypt operate and live. He can learn about their wealth. He can learn about how to function in another family. This is a family that saw him as a servant, and as a Hebrew servant at that. And, of course, Hebrews and the Egyptians sort of looked down on each other. The Egyptians thought Hebrews were lower class because they're all shepherds. And so he had to deal with that, because naturally when he first got to Potiphar's household, they didn't just welcome him in as a part of the family. So no doubt he was looked down upon at first and had the same kind of situation to some degree that he had suffered back in his own family as sort of a nobody in their mind. each one of these situations was just getting him ready for the next one. And each one he saw as an opportunity to learn something, to develop something. So he certainly saw in Potiphar's household a wonderful opportunity to learn the ways of an Egyptian family, to learn the ways of the Egyptian culture. He also learned how to be a leader. He learned how to manage. Because finally, Potiphar said, "You've done so well, I'm going to put you in charge of my whole household." So he comes as a slave, as a nobody, and now he's the number one person in the family, apart from the intimate family themselves, and he's overseeing all of Potiphar's, his business, his belong, everything. He's in charge. So what was God doing? God once again was preparing him for something that was ahead. And if we can get that in our thinking, that whatever I'm going through today is preparation for something I'm going to face tomorrow. If you get that attitude and you begin to operate on that basis, then things begin to change in the way you see them. So he saw this as a wonderful opportunity. And watch this. Every time he took advantage of the opportunity, he came out winning. He came as a slave, but his attitude was right, because you don't, there's no indication that it wasn't. And so what happens? It wasn't an accident that the captain of the bodyguard of Pharaoh happened to be the man who purchased him. So now he is in Potiphar's household, and everything's going better. And then what happens? The next crisis he meets is Potiphar's wife. And so she began to woo him and try to seduce him every way possible. She could have destroyed him. The truth is, he could have destroyed himself. But here's what he saw. He saw this as an opportunity, watch this carefully, this, to discover about himself his weaknesses and his strengths. And he said to her, "Your husband has placed everything in this household in my possession." He said, "He has given me everything in this household but you. And I cannot prove to be unfaithful to God and disobey him." That crisis was an awesome opportunity for him to discover his own strength, his own faithfulness, his own loyalty, his own devotion, no matter what the price would be. And he knew there had to be a price, because she, of course, accused him, and he got thrown in jail. And so you see, every time you and I are tempted by something, it is also an opportunity for us to find out something about ourselves, whether it is a moral temptation or financial temptation or temptation about some relationship or whatever it might be. There's also an opportunity. And the opportunity for him was that he could demonstrate to her that his allegiance and loyalty to God superseded every other desire in his life. He had all of Potiphar's household. He didn't have her. More important than having everything was to have his relationship to God to be right. How very important it was, because that too would provide basis for something else that was going to happen in his life. So following that, of course, he gets thrown into prison. So now we are into the next phase of his crisis. And when he's thrown into prison, he could have said, "Well, God, at this point in my life," had to be in his 20s by now, "at this point, I've done exactly what you've said do. I've been obedient to you." He could have blamed God. He could have blamed everybody. But you know what? It wasn't very long before he was in charge of the prison. Why? Watch this carefully. Because he had the right attitude of what is my opportunity. In other words, God has allowed me here. What is my opportunity now? What was my opportunity in Potiphar's household? To learn and to be submissive to those in authority over me, and to learn how to manage, learn how to rule. And now in prison, what kind of opportunity can that be? Well, they put all the prisoners under his charge. And so now he's learning how to be authoritative, but he's also learning how, watch this, to treat other people right. Because you see, he grew up in a family. They didn't treat him right. He knew what rejection and pain and suffering and heartache and feeling like you're a nobody and that you don't count. In fact, I'm not too sure that there are many emotions in life, if any, that has the depth of pain that rejection has. Every divorce, every separation of kids and their family, whatever it might be, the feelings of being rejected, especially by somebody that you love or somebody that is meaningful to you and somebody very important to you. It is a very, very painful, indescribable, painful emotion. And so he knows that. And so when he's head of the prison, I am sure that all those experiences he'd had back home, the way he was treated, and the way they just absolutely, totally tried to destroy him. How would he respond in prison? He would take the opportunity to do what? To express genuine caring. Because you see, he was there, not because of something he had done, but because he was falsely accused. Have you ever been really falsely accused of something? It's a very painful feeling when you know that you've done what's right and somebody else accused you of doing something wrong. So how did he respond? He responded, I believe, in a caring way for those prisoners. Because you see, his past crisis had made it possible for him to respond in the right way. Then, of course, he's in prison. And you remember the two gentlemen who worked for Pharaoh, the baker and the cupbearer, both of them had dreams, and one of them was restored and the other one was not. The baker was hanged. And so, you know, it's just one crisis after another. Then one morning he wakes up, and they come to him and they say, you need to get a shower and get dressed up here. You're going before Pharaoh himself. Well, what was all of that? Well, that meant his death or whatever it meant. And so they dress him up, and what's happened is that Pharaoh's had this dream. You remember the dream about the cows, the lean cows and the fatted cows and the lean stalks and the heavy stalks of corn. And so he's had this dream, and all of his soothsayers and so forth, they couldn't interpret it. So the butler says, there was a man in prison when I was. He was a Hebrew, and he interpreted my dream. So Pharaoh calls for him. Well, what did that mean? He didn't have an idea what that meant, but it was a wonderful opportunity. Now watch this. Because Joseph had the awesome privilege and opportunity to present his God, this Hebrew God Jehovah, to confront all the heathen gods of Egypt. Because he said, my God is Jehovah. I'm not an interpreter, but he will. He can interpret your dream. And so he told him the dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream and said, there'll be 7 years of awesome bounty. 7 years of absolute nothing. Nothing is going to grow. And the wisest thing for you to do is to, in these first 7 years, plan for the next 7 years. And so when he got through talking to Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked the question, well, what man is there in all of Egypt as wise as this man? So what did he do? He made him second only to himself. He said he'll ride in the second chariot. And he said, no one will lift a hand in all of Egypt without Joseph's permission. Now think about this. When he was at home, he didn't know anything about ruling anything except to be ruled. In every circumstance, in every crisis of his life, God was preparing him for something else. He served faithfully Potiphar. He learned how to manage. He learned how to oversee. And now he has the very awesome position of being able to rule over all of those who had ruled over him. What was his attitude all during this time? Looking to the Father, trusting him. He had a dream, and he was believing that what God had shown him would be true one day. Now, I'm just giving you all that as a background of what I really want to say about facing crises in your life and the opportunities we have. Because you're going to have them. And you can either respond incorrectly and suffer the consequences. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know why I've not gotten any further along in life. More than likely, it's because back here, watch this, back here in things that you thought were insignificant. God thought they were very significant because he was testing you, giving you the opportunity, testing you, trying you, and revealing to you how you responded. And I think many people wonder why or how somehow they missed it in life, when the truth is they didn't respond correctly in the simple little tests and trials that came their way. So, with all that in mind, I have 15 suggestions. I'm going to put them all in mag screens. I want to tell you this. I know they work. I've been through enough crises in my life to know they absolutely work. So if you're going through a crisis, no matter what it is, I can tell you this will work. If you're wise enough to write these down, put them to the test, try them, you will find yourself in any crisis, no matter what it might be, God bringing you through it with confidence and assurance. You may not start out with that confidence and assurance, but it'll be there. So I want to begin with one. The basic one is simply this. I must see these crises, whatever it might be, I must see them, first of all, the way God would have me to look at it. And that's this. He's working everything in my life for my good. Romans 8:28. You say, oh, I've been hearing that all my life. Well, but what have you done about it? Have you been practicing that? In other words, if you can see, if you believe that Romans 8:28 is true, that God causes all things to work for our good, if you and I truly believe that is to those of us who are his children, that is the first step. When a crisis comes, the question is, not, God, why did you do this? But I have to look and ask myself the question, do I really and truly believe that he's working everything for my good? Then I will take an opportunity in this crisis to discover what God wants to do in my life. The second very, very important truth is in Psalm 103, verse 19. And that's simply this, that God is in control of everything. If you're in a crisis and you don't believe that God is in control of all things, then you have a reason to be wringing your hands and wringing your heart. He's in charge of everything. He's in control of everything. Therefore, when it comes to Romans 8:28, that he's causing all things to work together for my good, I may not understand it. He's causing all things to work together for my good. And that being true, it can only be true if he's in control of all things. The third thing, if you'll think about it for a moment, you have to accept the truth of what is in Isaiah 55, and you probably know this by heart, but remember what he says? He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That is, here's what God is saying. You won't always understand what I do. You won't always understand the way I go about things. You won't always understand why I allow you to suffer in certain situations and circumstances. So that don't lose heart because you don't understand why. That is, the big question when a crisis comes, if my first question is, God, why? Then I'm going to miss it. It's not why. I know that if he allows and he says for my good, he has a reason. So if I can get that in my thinking, that his ways are not my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts. That is, because he's omniscient, watch this, because he's omniscient, he knows that what's painful for you today will be profitable for you tomorrow. That what you just want to run away from today, you want to run to tomorrow. He knows that. And so when a crisis comes, I have an opportunity to discover something about God that I've never discovered before, and that is that he is intimately involved. And whether it's your pain or whatever it might be, he's there. A fourth thing that's so very important, that's this. Don't make quick judgments when a crisis comes. Don't make quick judgments. First of all, we have revolving emotions, number one. And when a crisis comes, most of the time, we don't have any details or don't have any proper details. If you start listening to your friends, you won't know where you are. And so the truth is, you have to ask yourself the question, well, maybe God, well, I don't quite understand this. Naturally, you'd ask that question. But a quick judgment is always a wrong attitude. But God, what are you up to in my life? You can ask God and you can tell him, Lord, I don't like this. I don't understand that you'd allow this happen in my life. He understands that. But you have to get over that fast. Because you said, Romans 8:28, I believe. I believe that he's in control of all things. I know his ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. And if they're higher, that means they're wiser than my ways and much more profitable for us. And then, of course, focus on God instead of the crisis. In other words, all of us have faced crisis in life. And if you find yourself focused on that crisis and the pain of it and so forth, what happens is you'll get off track. And you'll lose the awareness of the comfort and the knowledge you know that God has of you and his unconditional love for you. You say, but it's painful. Sure, it's painful. But you can still focus on him. And this is why somebody says, well, how can I focus on God when I'm hurting? Here's how you focus on him. Open the Word of God and start reading. You can read in the Psalms, you can read the epistles or whatever it might be. But what happens is when you get into the Word, God becomes your focus. And he's going to encourage you, challenge you, or bring something into your mind that needs to go in your life. It shouldn't be there. And so he's going to show you what that is. And you begin to understand, well, now, God, I'm beginning to see what you're doing. But if you focus on the crisis, you'll lose something. And then, of course, avoid focusing on the pain. In other words, the pain, you don't focus on it. You don't focus on the crisis. Back to the Word of God. I may still be hurting, and I can remember times in my own life when I felt that same thing, that hurt, that pain. But when I get in the Word of God and start reading, it's like God would just, he would just calm my spirit and quieten my spirit, and it's like putting salve on a cut, and things begin to change in my thinking. And what happens is you begin to look at things differently. But you've got to focus on him. And that's why I started with Romans 8:28 and then on the 103rd Psalm. In other words, all of these are basic, believable, indestructible, unchangeable truths about God. He's working for your good. He's in absolute control. And you don't understand, but he understands. And then, of course, recall the past crises and the opportunities that followed them. Now, all of us said a while ago, we've had crisis in our life. So I asked you, how did you respond? Well, you say, well, just pick out the worst one. How did you respond? If you responded correctly, you can probably look back and say, well, thank God. It was a very difficult time in my life, but now I see what you were doing. You were preparing me for something else. And if you'll think about this, it is the will of God. He says that he's predestined you and me to be conformed to his image. That means he's continually working in our life to shape us into the character of Jesus Christ. He is going to allow, he's going to send into our life whatever is necessary to shape us in character like his son. So therefore, when I look at that and I think about the opportunities, and I look in my own life and think about things that have hurt me deeply or a real crisis in my life, I can look back and see exactly what God was doing. Now, if you ask me over here in the middle of it, what's he doing? Same thing you'd say. I don't have any idea what he's doing. But on the other side, that's why if we respond properly, then what's going to happen? We're going to make progress even in the midst of that situation, circumstance. And then little by little, we're going to begin to understand what in the world was God doing in the process. So I think about dealing with our anger immediately concerning it. In other words, you say, well, I thought you said you shouldn't be angry. I didn't say you wouldn't be angry at first. In other words, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't take it to bed with you. So the truth is when certain things happen to us, our natural normal response may be anger. But you can't let it stay there. You have to say, okay, God, I'm angry about this. I don't appreciate this. I don't like this. I don't know that you treat me this way. But I'm asking you to forgive me for my anger, and I'm moving on, God. What are you doing? I want to take advantage of this opportunity of being able to be hurt without being angry but a few moments, because I know that it's not going to get me anywhere. We're all going to face crisis. And when you respond immediately, as we said a few moments ago in anger, and when you let anger just lie there, it's going to cause you some problems that you could possibly miss God's whole purpose. And there are people, and I've met people, who live, who have lived and are still living in anger over something that happened years ago. And I would say to them, well, why can't you lay it down? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Well, how long is it? You know, it's been 7 years. I said, wait a minute. You're still angry over something that happened 7 years ago? Yes, I am. Well, what has it profited you? Silence. Because anger does not profit anything. The question is, what was God trying to do in your life? And you put this barrier up, and you said, no, 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 when God may be trying to do something in your life that's absolutely going to make an eternal difference in your life. Then, of course, submit yourself to the will of God in the situation, whatever it is. Now, that's not always easy. But watch this. We have to go back. You see, all this boils down to whether I believe him or not. He says he's working it for my good. Do I believe that? He says he's in absolute control. He says he understands why we don't understand. He says he loves us unconditionally. If I believe those things, then I'm going to be able to look at them and ask, what's my opportunity in this given situation? My opportunity to grow spiritually? Or my opportunity that God may send some other way, that all this is just getting us ready for? Everything that happened to Joseph until the day he met Pharaoh face to face, all of that was preparation for what God was going to do. He was always growing, always being submissive to the situation in which he found himself because he believed God. God had given him a dream. You say, well, I've never had a dream like that. You've got something better than a dream. He said, what's that? You have the written word of God. And listen, dreams come. How many of you can interpret your dreams you have at night? They're useless. They're just a mixture of something, and you think, where in the world did that come from? You can't trust the dream. Listen, you and I have the word of God. We can trust his word. We are far ahead of where Joseph was when it comes to truth and understanding what God is doing in our life. Then, of course, you have to demonstrate, I believe this is an important part, to demonstrate a sense of gratitude. You say, now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me when I'm hurting, I feel rejected, I mean the whole world's falling apart, and I'm to express gratitude? Yes. Only can you do that on the basis that you believe the first one of our principles, and that is that he is working something good in your life, and that he is in control, and that he understands why you don't understand. In other words, if I really and truly believe the truth of the Word of God, which you and I read and we pray over and we talk to God about, if we believe it, we'll be able to say, Lord, I don't like it. It hurts. I wouldn't do it this way. I think you ought to do it some other way. But I know that you know better than I do, so I'm going to thank you in spite of it. Gratitude always works. Because what you're saying in essence, I don't understand it, but you must love me enough, knowing that I don't understand it, that you let me hurt because you know something good is going to come out of this. And then, of course, it's determined in your life to view the crisis as an opportunity. Determined to view it as an opportunity. It's a choice we make. You say, well, I don't feel like it. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with, in this given situation, I'm going to determine in my heart that God is giving me an opportunity. I may not understand it today. I may not like it today or tomorrow, but here is an opportunity for God to either teach me something or put me in a position that I would never have believed that he put me in. You see, watch this. What you and I don't see, and what you and I don't see, we don't see all of the background. We don't see all the things that God is doing in our lives that nobody sees. We don't see it. Nobody else sees it. He's working things in our attitude, in our life, the way we view things, the way we treat people, the way we respond to people. He's working in all of these things to do what? To get us where he wants us to be. And so if we respond in the wrong way, what happens is either God's perfect will for our life doesn't work out the way we want it because we object to it, because one of them was to be submissive to him, whatever that might be. And then watch this one. Refuse to listen to unscriptural interpretations by other people of what's happening to you. This is very important. You can't afford to listen to other people's interpretations of what God is doing in your life. Now, sometimes there'll be somebody wise who'll give you some good advice. But for the most part, they'll say, well, if I were you, here's what I'd do. Remind them that they're not you. And secondly, they don't know what they'd do if they were in your particular position, because you are where you are because God has allowed you to be there for God's purpose. And listen, God isn't going around telling everybody else your business. He's not telling somebody else, well, here's what I'm going to do with him and her. No, I have to trust him, and I can't trust other people to tell me how I'm to respond in a given situation unless I seek real wisdom from somebody whom I trust, who knows and loves God and walks in his ways. Before you start getting advice from anybody, here's the first thing you do. Watch the way they live. If they're not living a godly life, don't listen. If they're living a godly life, then that's a possibility you ought to listen. Then, of course, remain in constant prayer, listening to God's instructions. You say, well, God has never spoken to me, and as I always answer that question, yes, he has. Do you think God would isolate one of his children and say, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to speak to him. Yes, he does. If I don't believe he speaks to me, I'm not going to hear him. And it may be that God may knock on your door over and over and over and over again until finally you listen. But he's speaking to you. He wants to give you direction. He wants you to take opportunities. He wants you to take advantage of the situations and circumstances in life that make it possible for us to grow and be conformed to his likeness. That's what he's up to in our life. But if somehow I don't think he's going to listen, then more than likely I'm not going to pray. Think about this. What is it that drives every single one of us to increase our prayer life? Pain, suffering, heartache, need in some fashion. So if you get a little lackadaisical in your prayer life and you're not reading the word and so forth, then you know what? Thank God that you're heading for a crisis. Because God loves you. Listen, I know you don't believe that. But here's what happens. Thank God he's heading you for a crisis because, listen, he loves you too much to let you go astray and stay there. That's an act of love on his part. And so the reason some people go through more crisis than others is that God just has a hard time getting them corralled. I can just think of some people that they're always on the run. But you know what? You can't outrun God. If you don't believe that, you just read the book of Jonah. It doesn't make any difference how far you run, how long you run, how hard you run. You're not going to get away from him. He loves you too much. What you do is you lose the blessing in the run. You're going to run somewhere, you run toward God, not away from him. And then, of course, refuse to give way to your changing emotions. And this is what happens. You pray and things don't change for all you think. You know, I don't, watch this. I don't feel like God's listening. I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like circumstances. Feelings oftentimes are the enemy of obedience to God. Because I may not feel something, but God doesn't operate on feelings, and he doesn't want us operating on feelings. So think about all of these. Now, I just have one more. It's the bottom line. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. That's the bottom line. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. You see, if I believe the first one I gave you, I can do that. He's working all things for my good. I leave all the consequences to him. If I believe he's in control, I leave all the consequences to him. Obey him, leave all the consequences to him. No matter what, listen, no matter what crisis you face in life, these 15 suggestions, that's what they are, and I know they work, they will help you through them no matter what that crisis is. What you have to decide is this. Do I believe that God is who he says he is? Do I believe that God works the way he says he does? Do I believe that God loves me enough to personally involve himself in my life? Do I believe when I don't understand, he understands me? Do I believe with all my heart that God has a plan and a will for my life? Yes. Do I believe with all my heart that in every circumstance, there's an opportunity for me to grow in my Christian life or to prosper in other ways? It all boils down to your faith. It all boils down to the fact do I believe what is true is really true? Because that's the way we're going to respond. And no matter what crisis you face, if you follow those 15 suggestions, God's going to bring you through it. Now, I didn't say he wouldn't bring you through with tears or no tears. I didn't say it'd be easy, but I know he will bring you through it no matter what. You say, but I'm not even a Christian. Will that work for me? No. No, it won't work. You say, well, why won't it work? Because first of all, you have rejected personally. You have rejected the person that makes all this possible. When Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world and went to the cross and died for your sins, he paid your sin debt in full so that you might be forgiven of your sin, you might be adopted into the kingdom of God, that is, you become a part of the family of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven when you die to live with him forever. If you have rejected him, you have rejected his ways, rejected his love, rejected his plans, rejected his will, and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected. Now you're expecting God to say, oh, we're going to forget all about that. No. No. And the truth is, you're not going to believe him. Until you accept him as your personal Savior, you're not going to believe him, because you see, the rejection of him as your personal Savior says you reject him. You do not believe him. You say, well, I believe in God, but not Jesus. Sorry. You can't have it that way. Because, isn't it the Bible? Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but by me. And God speaks of sending his only begotten Son into the world that you and I might be saved and have the gift of eternal life. If you're willing to surrender your life to him, I don't care what kind of mess you've made of it. It's amazing the impossible things that look impossible to us are very possible to God. You want to change in life? You want to be able to face the crisis in your life? Well, first of all, let me put it this way. The first big crisis you have to deal with is just the surrender of your life to Jesus Christ for a life change for all eternity. And when you're willing to make that change by trusting in him, everything we've said can become a possibility in your life. Until then, you're on your own. You have to face these crises yourself. And you will not face them successfully apart from the grace and the love of Almighty God. It's my prayer that you'll be wise enough to surrender your life to him and watch him work in the most awesome ways in your life. And Father, how grateful we are that you have planned for each one of us in such a fashion that you have the best for us. And I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to every single listener and enable them to understand that it all begins with trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and then following him and practicing these things that we've spoken about today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God uses the challenges he gives us to demonstrate his faithfulness and equip us to minister to others. At intouch.org, learn more about trusting God's timing even in the midst of distress. There you can see today's message, Turning Our Crisis into an Opportunity, and find a library of free and inspiring messages from Dr. Stanley, sermon notes, and resources to help you experience the blessing of God's grace in times of trial. Download the InTouch app to take the teaching of Dr. Stanley on the go, or follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Now.
Look, Durham, I don't have an old church here, and I don't have a tambourine even. I don't have an old building, so I had to bring it along with me. Jake, start rolling now. I'll have my mansion now.
I believe.
Oh, my mansion now.
I believe.
Oh, I believe.
Jesus.
can't help me. Can I do it again, Dad? I want to do it again, Dad. One more time. You can't wait till tomorrow. You need it tonight. But you got to prophesy declaratively. Say this. I hear you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. John P. Key this morning, and God will do just what he said he will do for us. Oh, yes, he will. Hallelujah. I'm great fun to him this morning. I heard Pastor Charles this morning, a beautiful message he brought on trust, because we must trust God. If we're going to get anything from God, we got to trust him. Yeah. We got to trust him to get all that we need from him. Yeah. Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He has everything we need. And God is just faithful. And if he's faithful unto us, we should be faithful unto him. Yeah. He's the author and finisher again of our faith. I love it today. I love it today. And I thank God for it. Thank God for it. Because he know what's best for each of us today. He know what each of us need, and we can't make it without him. Yeah, can't make it, can't make it. And so I'm thankful unto him. And we got to put that trust into practice. Put it into practice. Yeah, put it into practice. This, you got to tell yourself, so what? I won't die from it. Yeah, this not my first time going through something. I've been through something before, and God delivered me out of it. He brought me out. And so whatever this is, he's going to bring me out of this too. Yeah. Now, I had the Pepto-Bismol, but this is what I know. Many times we feel that God is not going to bring us out in the way we want to come out. See, we have a certain way we want to come out of something. God don't move that way because that's not the best way for us. He moved in the best way for us. He moved in a way that it won't come back. It won't add no sorrows. It won't have us up late at night crying. Yeah. If we can let go, let God have his way. Believe God, trust him, and move on to the next thing. Yeah. I've had plenty of situations. This is how I know what he can do. I've had plenty of situations. I couldn't change a thing. It's nothing I could do about it, especially the minds of people. No matter what I did, I could not change the mind of people. And when I saw that, I put it back on the altar and walked away. Lord, only you can change hearts and minds. I can't. This is what I want for them, but it's not what they want for themselves. So, Lord, if you don't do it for them, it won't get done. And I have to accept what you allow. I have to accept what they are and keep moving. Because sometimes we're fighting so hard to have it. Oh, we just want it so bad. And we just can't let it go. We keep going over and over, and our whole day is spent on this thing so bad. All our time is spent talking about this thing that we want. But if you're going to let it to God, you got to give it to him walking away from it. You can't give it to God and still talk about it. You can't give it to start still desiring it. Oh, I just want it. Want it. You can't do that. If you're going to fix it, God is going to back up. If he's going to fix it, you have to back up and let it go. Listen, he woke you up this morning, closing your right mind. If he can do that, truly he can take care of the situation. It may not be the time for it. Timing is everything with him. So this may not be the season for it. And when God is not giving you what you desire, it's time to pray. It's time to stay on your face. It's time to seek ministry. It's time to seek him. But we'll run to him because we want him to give us what we want. We don't run to him to do what he needs us to do. We're doing all of this stuff because we want God to do something for us. Lord, I just need you to get my son out of jail, Lord Jesus. I just need you to get my daughter off drugs, Lord Jesus. And he's saying this, did anybody stop your testimony? Why are you trying to stop theirs? Because they belong to you, I'm going to take care of them. Nothing is going to happen to them. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to keep them safe. And when the time it is right, I'm going to turn their heart towards me. Because unless God draw you, you can't come. I don't care how many times mama stay on the altar crying, how many fasts she go on, how many church songs she sang, how many times she run to the church, to that building, instead of running to God. That's not going to change. He's got a perfect timing when he's going to do what needs to be done. But the key to all of this is trusting him. The first key is to believe. We must have faith. Those of us that come to him, we must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But we're not diligently seeking him for what we want, and that's what a lot of our problem is. We stand on the altar because I want a new car. We stand on the altar, I want a new house. We're saying, I want a better job. I want better pay. That's why we on the altar. We're not on the altar asking God, Lord, what should I do today concerning your will? What is it you would have me to do today? Lord, I'm yours. Use me in your service to bless your people. That's not our prayer. Oh, boy, we fast and falling out and everything else because we want God to give us what we want. Before he took away what we wanted, we didn't do all of that. Yeah. We had a form of godliness and we were denying the power thereof. Oh, yeah, tell the truth to yourself today. Because you certainly can't trust, you certainly can't fool God. And see, some people don't want to hear the truth about that because they want to think they're doing God a favor. They want to believe they're seeking God for God. Now, are you seeking God for that very thing that you want? And that's not what he's doing. And if he was, you'd already have it. You got to have patience with him. Two things with God, faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Because you got to believe and you got to wait. His timing is not our time. But his timing is, hallelujah. So we got to practice trusting him. There's some things I want, but I couldn't. I had to wait. I want the house pressure washed a long time ago. And when I would talk to Shante, she'd be like, Mama, God got to do it. Now, come on. I don't even want to hear about it, Mama. We done prayed about it. I don't want to hear no more about it. God is going to do it. It is time to give God his business, Mama. It is perfect timing. He sent the right person. And when I tell you they pressure washed that painted to goodness. Yeah, looked like the house been painted. Yeah, they pressure washed it so good. Why is that, Barbara? God had a perfect time for it to be done. But we think we can step out in us and do what we want, when we want, how we want to do it, because we want to do it. No, matter of God. Walking in the spirit of God, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. And it don't mean the lust of sexual things. It mean the lust of things we want. Oh, I just want it. I just want this business, Lord. I just want another job, God. I want that promotion. I want it. We seeking God for stuff and things. We're not seeking him spiritually. And I'm telling you, he know the difference. Because he know the very intent of our heart. But when we let go, God is going to have his way. And when he have his way, honey, it's going to bless you. Miracles going to come about. Yeah. I see men holding on to women. They can't let them go. Ooh, they just can't. Sometimes they think somebody else going to be with it. With her. So what? Let him have her. You see God. And when God get through, what he give you will be 100 times better than what you thought you had because you didn't have her. God didn't even put that together. You put that together. So we got to seek him and trust him today with our whole heart and lean not to our own understanding. And we must acknowledge him. He's going to direct our path. We shouldn't be wise in our own eyes because it won't get you nothing. We got to fear God and God's evil. Yeah, because there's some little things you're doing. Yeah. And see, many times they kind of fool people. That I was this way and I'm that way and I was this way. And God steady looking and said, no, you wasn't. You got some little secrets you did. You got some little things you did, too. I'm telling you, I accuse my ex of everything in the book. Call him a mean-eyed monster, the devil, and everything. Yeah, the Lord told me, don't call him that no more. And the Lord showed me in the marriage. I was just as guilty as he was. Oh, yeah, he showed me myself. Many days you didn't open your mouth when you should have. I can have your pity party and want everybody to come and pat you on the back. That won't work. We got us. I had a cousin. We called him Slurp Dog. Did you hear that? Slurp Dog. That's what we called him. And when trouble came and Slurp Dog was around, Slurp Dog will solve your problems with a 38. I'm just telling you the truth what God pleased with this morning. He did it now. But Slurp Dog used to tell him, say, now, if you continue this, you're going to have to face the nation. That's his word. And he would pull his coat. He wore a suit coat, a hat, some white milkman socks. I have on white milkman shoes, some checkered pants, and a white shirt. For the coolest thing and the well best dressed in the world. And he kept that big 38 on his right side. And when he would tell you, you're going to have to face the nation, he would pull that coat back and let you see the gun. I would tell you, y'all forgive him, but it was funny. Some say you got to face the nation. So we need to face ourselves and tell ourselves the truth so we can tell God the truth. But many times we can face our own self. Ooh, I can't think on that. I did that. It was so bad what I did. But the scripture says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When the devil comes lurking around telling me about my past, I tell him that was back there. That's who I was. That's not who I am today. I have greater living in me today. I'll never go back to that. And you know, sometimes you just want to be smart out your mouth to him, but I don't do that. No need. I don't have to tell the devil about himself. I tell him to get on down the road, but you favor that which be of man. You don't favor that which be of God. I'm going to live by the word of God. So you can get on with that. You can kick rocks with it. Put two eggs in your shoe and beat it. Because I can't go back there looking back there and plundering back there. But that's over with. I'm never doing that again. Number one, I'm too old. I'm not going back in my past doing what I did in my past. I'm moving forward. He has given me a future. Right now, I'm in the present, headed to my future, a good future in him. So there's no need for me to do all this stuff. And many times we let folks abuse us and everything else, and we tell my God. And the Lord shaking his head said, my goodness, look how they're lying on me. I told them to do this and that, and they won't do it. So that's what they want. So I have to let them get what they want until they decide they want me to step in and fix it. But the only way he going to fix it, you must obey. Whatever he's telling you, you got to obey it. People have come to me for years. And this is the sad part. They come and I tell them what God say. It's not what they want to hear. They go back doing the same thing, but here they come back again. Why are you coming back? You didn't do what God told you to do. What more you want? You want me? You don't want none of that Barbara Pittman chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. No, that's not what you're looking for. God told you what to do from the beginning. You won't do it. You think you can work it out. You got a better plan. But you don't. If you had a better plan, you wouldn't be seeking God. Not for that. I'm telling you, for years people have come. God told them what to do. They're not going to do that. Because it's not going to give them what they want. Yeah. Now, he's speaking what they want to hear. They're going to hear it all day. I'm going to do that. Because it's what they want. But when he speaks what they don't want, they don't want to do it. And when I say something about it, they make excuses. All kinds. You ain't heard some of these excuses. But they trying to keep their mind in, they believe it's faith. They believe they're keeping their mind in faith so they can get what you want when God done told you no. What's the problem? He said no. And he's not changing his mind. If he was, he would still stay in this right here. But they come up with another a scenario. Oh, yeah. Man is a pitiful creature. Yeah, we are pitiful creatures. That's why we need God. He said, well, the day you hear the word, harden not your heart. That don't mean just coming to him to be saved. That means every time you hear his word, don't harden your heart. Every time you hear his word, obey him. But we don't do that. Many times we forget God. God, who that is? I'm over here trying to get this money. You tell my God, I'm going to get with him after I get this money. As a matter of fact, I've been praying that he give me some. I'm just telling you the way to do. Money? I mean, God, hey, hold up. When I get my business going, then I'm going to give God some of the money. I'm just telling you the way people do. God, I'm trying to finish these classes. So I can get this master's degree, PhD. Now when I get these degrees, I'm going to do something for God. You hear me? This is the honest truth. This is the way we think. We are pitiful creatures. But the day we hear his voice, if we harden not our heart, he's going to bless us. Some folk want to get married. They think they can help God. God constantly saying, back up off it, let it go, sit down. I got a date set for that. And the day is not the day. But I want it. I understand God. I want this here, and I'm determined to have it. And he's trying to tell you, it won't work together for your good. I can't give it to you. It won't work for your good. I can only give what, well, God, you need to do something for me. Without even moving their lips. It's action. See, God is an action God. He hear what you say, but he's looking at what we do. Oh, yes, he does. So we gotta trust him. Put it on the altar before him and walk away. Go boldly before the throne of grace. Make your petition known to God and walk away. Trust in him that if it be his will, he's going to give you your heart's desire. But we do everything else but that. We don't work. We keep putting the work off. He keeps telling us, do this, do that. I called you to this. I chose you for that. We hear that and we say, when this and that happen, when that and that happen. Instead of just going on moving by the Spirit of God, let God lead and guide you and go on and help somebody because you're holding them people up. He done called you to a work, and he got people lined up that need the ministry he gave to you, and you tell him, I win. Okay. Think it's a joke and think it's going to get better. To get worse before better. Why is that, Barbara? You're disobedient. Disobedient is witchcraft. You know that? You're working to work. Disobedient is as witchcraft. You working to work. You may as well shake the bones and throw them out there. You may as well burn the candles. You may as well burn your sage. You may as well throw the salt and ammonia, whatever they do. Because disobedient, obedience is as witchcraft. Everybody God saved, he called them to something. He may not have chosen you for certain things, but he called you to do a work unto him. The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We pray that the Lord of the harvest send more laborers. But how about the labor he called me to? Yeah. Because when you trust God, you don't listen to folks, and you run to people before you run to him. If you done been to him and he told you something, ain't no sense in keep running around. Mm-mm. Stay focused on what he said. If he said come out, come out, and wait on him. Don't give you that particular thing you want. That means it wouldn't work together for your good. He got something better for you. But God, you don't understand this way. I want to get it from Jerry. I wanted to get it from Evangelist Robin Lynn. I wanted her to get it to me. I'm not using Robin Lynn. I'm using Jerry. I don't want it from Jerry. You'd rather do without it than to get what God got from you, from who he's given it to you from. Some people don't like it. I'm strictly about the truth. I'm strictly about facing the nation, as Slurp Dog said. Reality. This stuff y'all see on TV, they call it reality. That's the devil, folks. That's not the real reality. Real reality is facing yourself, saying to yourself, I went out here and chased behind a basketball player until I got me one. Not everybody else is more important than me. You don't even come home. His friends sending me videos of him with women. God didn't put it together. You put it together. And do you know some of them know better than what they're doing? But if they rather obey the flesh than God. The light shined in darkness, and darkness refused to comprehend it. Yeah. But it's all right today. In Jesus' name. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say today, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning and share with us. You may have something you want to say concerning trusting God. You have a testimony. I had to trust him because I didn't know which way to turn. When I trust God, he did this. He come on in today. It's all right in Jesus' name. So see, I'm going to this one right here this morning. And I'm dedicating this one to you.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm a music major.
Tears rolling down your face. With your heart feeling like it's gone. Like it's about to shade. When you've taken all that you can take.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember where your help comes from. Realize you got somewhere to run.
Where to run. I'm just like you. If you cut me, I'll go bleed.
I'll go bleed.
I got one just as well as I can need. I've been hungry and not had no food to eat. And been knocked down as soon as I got on my feet. Lord, it was you that helped me understand. And it was you that never let go of my hand. I promise that I'll always give you praise. No matter what this world brings my way, I'll praise you anyway. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm gonna live forever. Oh, right in the middle of it. I'm gonna do my day. Oh, right in the middle of it.
She's got some laminated going on, her sinuses, and some other things. She's at work, but she's asked that we pray for her total recovery. Yeah, yeah. And so we thank God this morning. I'm texting her back and letting her know we're going to pray for her. Yeah. God is good to us, and he's a healer. Yeah. And there's nothing he can't do. It's just, whew, I tell you, if we can but trust him and walk away from things, we need to learn to do that more. Walk away from it. Let it go, please. Just let it go. Yeah. Because what happened is why the longer we hold on to it, the longer it takes for us to be blessed. Yeah. And because we want it, so we want it, we want it, we want it. I'm telling you, we still got our hand in this business. Get your hand out of this business and let God have his way in your life. Oh, okay, Jerry. Okay, I got you. Jante, your mic is still open too. Good morning, Sister Jerry. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing well. How about yourself? How are you doing?
I'm blessed. I can't complain today.
Yes, Lord. Well, I just want to start out by saying, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for reminding me of the Joseph trials that he went through. For every trial we go through is for a blessing and a great lesson. Lord knows I've gone through some trials, and just because you're telling me no at this moment, Lord God, don't mean there's a beautiful yes down the road. So I'll accept what you allow.
Amen.
I'll accept the people you're putting in my life. When you tell me, Jerry, you got to let him go. Jerry, you can't do this no more. I'll accept that, Lord, because you know best.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, I thank you for Barbara. I thank you that she's give me sometimes things and tell me, Jerry, you can't do this. It makes me feel bad, but then I know it's good for me. Some medicine don't taste good, but it can help you. So I thank you for your lessons and your blessings, Barbara. Most people may think, well, she sure do be giving Jerry a lot of money. No, 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 no. She blessed Jerry through prayers. She blessed Jerry through telling Jerry, I know that's what you want, sister, but that's a no. She blessed Jerry through laughter. She blessed Jerry, even when Jerry trying to go left, she would turn Jerry to the right, a hard right. She blessed Jerry when she don't tell Jerry what Jerry want to hear. She tell him, thus says the Lord. And I thank you for your time. I see how often your phone rings. I've been with you, and it goes ring, 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 ring. And you still do it with good cheer. And I believe in what I'm seeing in you, this is what God say, be a cheerful giver. He's not always talking about money. Be a cheerful giver with your time. Be a cheerful giver with your understanding on what's going on with people. Listen to God. And I'm all about it. If you want to talk about God, Brother Anthony blessed me so well yesterday. I was running through the house praising God. He was blessing me. And that's what I mean. I thank God if I wasn't on Barbara's show, I wouldn't have got such a blessing. I don't always need to know what's going on in the United States. I need to know what's going on with God. I need God showing me, Jerry, I know you want this right now, but I'm going to clear some stuff up, and then I'm going to give you this without you having to do that. So when God tell me no, I'm still okay, but no is okay. Because behind every no, I know God's got a big yes. I remember the story of Satan saying to the Lord, well, Satan, what you doing? I'm going to and from. Well, what you looking for, Satan? What you trying to do? Well, I'm looking for that little faithful servant of Jerry over there. She always talking about how good you are. I want you to drop it and tell her some no and let her go through some stuff. God said, okay. Because she's going to praise me even in the middle of it. She's going to tell me, thank you, Jesus. She's going to say, hallelujah. And then she's going to put on Brian and say, all I need is a touch from you, Lord. Just a touch, Lord, from you. Even me, Lord, I need a touch from you, Lord God. I'm sad. My baby's sick, Lord. Lord, my money is gone, and I have no idea what to do. My light bill went up $30, Lord, and you know I'm on a fixed income. But even in the middle of it, God come up with great plans and great ideas, and out of nowhere, not expecting nothing, I go to the mailbox. There's money in the mailbox. Out of nowhere, people that's been getting money from me come to me and say, well, do you need something? I'm looking at them like, I don't want to take nothing from you. But then I hear God say, take it. You're not taking it from them. I'm making them give them back what they took them from you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My son and I have never gone hungry. We've never gone without lights. And we are on a fixed income, as most people will say.
Well,
it
Jerry,
is a low
Jerry,
income. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I want you to stop saying a fixed income and say you own
okay.
an unlimited income.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. An unlimited income. I'm not going to just say a fixed income because that's man word. God says he has unlimited. In my Father's house, a mini mansion.
All right.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. In my Father's house, a mini mansion. So if you got mansions, it's full of nothing but beauty. I have unlimited resources, unlimited everything I need.
Amen.
He don't wake me up to worry. And, Barbara, I thank you. See that? There's more training for me. I need that. Because you are what you say you have. You have what
Amen.
You say.
And you're going to have what you say you got. Yeah. Whatever you say you got, that's what you're going to have.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes,
and the evidence of things not seen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you. All I need is a touch from you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. See, Jesus know my name, and he know where to send me. He sent me and hooked me up with Barbara when my husband was in the declining season. Oh, did he bring me through? I couldn't have faced that by myself. And when things go a little heavy for me in this house, it's out of nowhere Barbara calls. Hey, girl, what you doing? Nothing. I ain't heard from you. What you over there, what you and Calvin over there doing? Nothing. Well, I'm coming to get you. Oh, Barbara. But you know, she does what God tell her. And I have to obey because God is sending her to do his work for me and Calvin. I'll tell everybody this has been a different type of atmosphere I'm in. I'm in a place I've never been before. But I'm at an age I've never been either. But I'm not with the other friends I used to have. They're either in jail or they're dead. But God has sent me the right people. He has set me up beautifully. So don't look over here and think Jerry has a lot of money. It just looks like that. But what I have is what God intends for me to have, nothing more, nothing less. So I got to praise him in the middle of what I'm doing, and the people said no. I said, okay. She said, well, Miss Crowd, you seem to be happy about it. Well, I can't fix it. I can't change it. This is what it's supposed to be. I surely won't worry about it. Be of good cheer no matter what's going on. So I thank you, God. And that's all I want to say, Barbara. Thank you for uplifting me when you see that I'm crawling around feeling sorry and sad for myself. When I say I'm on a fixed income, when really everything I ask for, God's going to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on fixed, you cannot get if you don't have enough, but God will give you unlimited of anything.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you lost something, oh, I lost my husband. You can't lose your husband. He died. Mm-hmm. If you lost him, you'll never find him. You won't see him again because he's lost in space. Thank you for reminding me to be careful what I say out of my mouth. But surely it should come to pass.
Hallelujah. I want to play this one for you this morning. Matter of fact, I'm going to play it for all of us. I'm going to dedicate this one to each and every one of us, those coming through the podcast and the archives as well. Wherever you come through, I'm dedicating this one to us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God.
But nothing cast down. Don't understand.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe.
Thank you, Lord.
Turning around.
Thank you.
I'm disappointed.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Felt so alone.
Hallelujah.
Some of my friends let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me.
Hallelujah.
Around for me. Around for me, it's turning around for me.
Can you just say it into the atmosphere?
Around for me, around for me,
it's
turning around for me. I can see the breaking,
I can see the breaking.
Turning around for me. I can see around for me.
hallelujah, he gonna turn it around for us, not just for me, but he's turning it around, turning it around for us. Yeah, some of us been waiting a long time for God to move, and he's doing it for us in this season. And we don't want to look at what the world is going through because of this. That's what they're going through. We serve the true and living God that have all power. And his word has already spoken concerning our situation. He has already told us what's happening for us. And we want to continue to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. And I want to say this morning, if you've been told God called you to ministry, I want you to begin to get up and start working. Do you see what's happening? This is the greatest season of all time to bring people to God. This is the season of all times to work with people, to get them to understand what's going on. And if you do this, God is going to do that. But you can't be disobedient and expect the blessings of God. It won't work. Yeah. Because when we give God what he needs, he gives us what he wants. Yeah. See, he needs some things to work with. Obedience is better than a sacrifice. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those of us, again, that come to him, we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, constantly, always seeking him. Give him what he needs to work with. He loves us today. He made us for his pleasure. He don't need us. We need him. But he have need of what you can do. For the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Look, you want a good Christmas? You want a great holiday? Start obeying God and watch what happened to you. Yeah, start obeying. Lord, you called me today. I don't know how to go about this, but I'm going to just speak to people. And many times the people tell you about God, they'll open the door for you to come and minister to them because God knows you don't feel that you're ready. But when he called you, when he chose you, he ordained you. Hallelujah. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. How are you, sir?
Yes, Halle, good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Everybody out there listening this morning. No time kind of running short. I ain't got my headset this morning. I was kind of rushing this morning and I left my headset at the house, but I just wanted to say good morning to everybody and God bless y'all and just thank God again another day to be able to come together for all. Fellowship, you know, one or another, and I got all y'all in my heart and mind. Thank God for, you know, people that are tuning in this morning. Just want to say I love y'all, and y'all continue to pray for me. I got y'all in my prayers, and you know, we just continue to trust God in everything we do, and just you know, watch the door that God opened for us. In this season, I just thank God for that. And, you know, just thank God for another day being here, allowing me to see another day. And thank you for the activity of my limbs. Thank you for who he is in me and what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. And I just give God all the glory, honor, and the praise. In Jesus' my name, amen.
Amen,
brother.
Amen. God bless you. Yeah, I was blessed yesterday. Hallelujah. He was moving over there. Ooh, and I thank him for it. And see, he don't always tell us when, where, and how. As we begin to praise him, as we begin to lift him up, it's him that come in and show up and show completely out. Yeah, he's that kind of God. And he's on our side today in spite of us. Yeah. He looks beyond our faults. And yet meet our needs. Yeah, and I thank him. But without him, we can do nothing. Is there anyone else? We have a few minutes left. And if you just want to say thank you, Jesus, good morning. If we press that number one and I come in today. Because, you know, I just love it. I like giving people the opportunity to say something about God. Because I know if you live and he has done something for you. It may not have been all that you wanted him to do, but he has done some great things in your life. And one of the greatest things is you're still alive. You yet got a chance to get it right with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Because he's returning one day. He's coming back looking for his church without spot or wrinkle. And I'm praying that it's us. It's us. We're going to get to go back with him when he comes. Yeah, they sang a song that says, he's coming on a cloud and every eye shall see him. I want to be like Jesus when he comes. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the important thing, to be like him. Because what I know is when he see himself in us, he know we belong to him. He know we are his church. Yeah, because we looking like he look. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not looking like the world. He's not pumped up and all this stuff like the world. But he's better. Yeah, he's got some good stuff for us, for us. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. One thing to do again, to those who want to do painting by numbers, go to your app store and look for paint by numbers or painting by numbers. And you'll find several over there. Choose the ones that you like. It's refreshing. It's therapy. It's good for you. When I tell you, it gives you some wonderful stuff to do. What I see in all the foolishness on Instagram, Facebook, and nonsense. Yeah, you got your own. And you enjoying yourself. I love it. I love painting different pictures and flowers and houses and decorating apartments and all of this. Some churches I've decorated. It's a wonderful thing. And feel free to check it out. And if you have some trouble, contact me. Let me know, and I may be able to help you to figure it out for yourself. Yeah. And so we thank God this morning. Well, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out and go to our last song of the morning. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And listen, this is going to be an old preacher here out of the 1800s coming tomorrow. Yeah. And he's talking about the secret love of God. Oh, yeah, way from the 1800s. And so it's just a blessing, just a blessing. So, all right, we'll pray. And again, we pray the Lord bring us back. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning, Father, for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word today. For your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And God, we saw what you did for Joseph. We saw what came from the coat of many colors. We saw the brothers being jealous. But Lord, what you had him to dream and speak, it come to pass. And sometimes we're in slavery. We feel like we're slaves. But Lord, we know if we continue in lowliness and humbleness unto you, we know one day you will bring us out to the king's palace. And we thank you today. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to keep the faith. Help us to walk according to your word. Father, again, give us the spirit of obedience unto you. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, those that are standing in the need today, supply the needs of your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Bless our going out and our coming in. Make ways for us today, God, where we see no way. Move by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee. One from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves that you're forgiven. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, November the 30th, 2021. Look at that. We ended November going into December. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Brother Anthony, Brother Lewis said, hey, Brother Anthony. And he said, hey, Sister Jerry. Yeah, I wanted to get those out because he put them in there. And I like to say hello and somebody say somebody when I can. Yeah, so much be going on, but I get to do some stuff. So we tell the Lord, thank you. So listen, we're going to our last song of the morning. And after the song, I won't be coming back today. And I believe God is moving for us this day. Yeah. Doing great and mighty things for us this day. Hallelujah. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. But we are here right now. Hallelujah. And he's doing great things. This is our song of the ending right here.
Yeah. Jesus, you're my everything, yeah. My everything is you, Lord. Yeah.
Lord, you are
Lord.
Mm-hmm.